other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Egg Rolls, now with real egg. I'm Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hey, boys.
Brick.
Hey, boys.
And old Irish Nico.
Hey, listeners.
There it is. There it is. Today's topic is e-readers. This is a topic that we talked about quite a bit on the old website, Chamber 4. And Brick, you had mentioned this as like a possible topic. Tell us about e-readers. What's your thinking here?
Yeah, well, for those of you that don't know, the old podcast we did was an offshoot of our website that we did, which ran book reviews, but also was sort of founded to be the e-reader hub of the internet. It sort of worked that way, I guess. No one else gave a shit. turns out they continued to not give a shit. So anyway, when I was digging through some stuff the other day, I found my old e-reader and I started using it, and I was like, hey, this is kind of nice. In the summer, I read a lot outside, and reading things on your phone is never good anyway, but outside it's almost impossible when it's sunny out. And sometimes reading a book is a bit of a pain in the ass with the blocking the sun or whatever else, and the contrast of the e-reader I found to be quite pleasant. So I kind of wanted to just do an episode and check in about why they didn't work. I guess Kindle sort of stayed around, but even then, most of that brand is just iPad, tablet, wannabe kind of things, and not the e-ink devices. They do still make the regular Kindles, but I haven't seen one in the wild in a long time.
I see them on the train here and there still. I've never owned one, though. I read Nightboat to Tangier on an e-reader. That was the first book I ever read. And I guess if I should say full novel. I've read like short stories and stuff like that in e-reader form, and I did not like it. But the app was terrible. I think it's called Paperlight, maybe? It's the one through bookshop.com or bookshop.org, whatever it is.
What did you read it on?
My iPad.
Yeah, so the e-reader, like, devices have a different screen. They use that e-ink. It's, I think, functionally different, but it looks kind of like the black on gray LED, like digital watch kind of screens.
Yeah.
You know, the advantage it was touted always was it was very low on battery, and it was very readable in highlight situations where functionally for your eyes, it's more akin to reading off paper than it is off reading a screen.
Yeah.
So using an e-reader app on your iPad is not really the same.
Right.
But that's sort of where everything went, where I think for enough people, it was enough the same that they're like, well, I don't need another device for this.
Right.
So I'll just make do with my iPad. And there's a lot of people that read on their iPads. I hate it.
Yeah, I really didn't like it. And it was also missing, I mean, along with the, I thought what was a bad like navigation in the app, I also felt somehow like unmoored from the reading experience. Like not being able to, like there's something about holding the physical book in your hand and telling how much is left or like where you are in the sort of bulk of the novel or relative bulk of the novel. Maybe it's a dumb reason, but it feels important. And this, I was like, when the book ended, I was like, oh, it's over. Huh. That's, and at some point I was like, oh, it's definitely, this is going to be end for sure. And it was only halfway through. And I was like, oh wow. I was totally surprised. I just lost. It felt like I was reading without, like, I was like, I was reading on a boat. Like I had like no sense of like where I was and what time was anymore. It was weird.
Yeah. I think one thing that is a shame is that Amazon kind of won the battle of the e-readers, because it seems like Amazon's technology is by and large garbage. Like every Alexa device I've used sucks. Every like Kindle tablet I've seen is terrible. And it just seems like they just try to make shit for as cheap as possible. They don't really care about the actual device, like whether the device is good. So my wife has a Kindle.
I just want to move the content. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fine. But it's like, it's hard to use. Like it's slow. It's fussy with where you tap it and stuff. And like, I think they kind of, they got it to a point where they just kind of dominated the market, and then they just coasted from there. Because I think it would be possible to make a good e-reader, but I don't think the Kindle is that e-reader.
I have the old Sony.
Whoa.
Sony e-reader. It's nice. It's sort of book looking from a distance.
Yeah.
Didn't one of you guys really like the Nook? And is Nook still around even, or did that fall away?
Nook, I believe Nook and Kobo got combined, and then they became apps for someone.
The Nook was Barnes & Noble, right, originally?
Yeah, and I think Kobo was Borders, and then when Borders went under, it got folded in with the Nook, and then I think they became apps, and then their technology probably got folded into something else, and I haven't seen either of those names in a long time.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
When you found that e-reader brick, was there like stuff downloaded onto it that you had like not read?
Yeah, there's library books that are like 1,000 days overdue. I had put a lot of public domain books on it, and then which actually turned out nice that the software doesn't work with my computer anymore, but you can just drag and drop with the newer ones. So when I read those review copies for things, I can put the digital galleys. I can just drop them on there so that I can read them outside and not those things I have to read on a computer because I don't have them physically. So that's what I've been using it for, and it's nice. And it's nice to just put 50 or 100 books in one thing and stick it in your backpack. I don't ever see myself going back to using it all that frequently, but for that one specific purpose of when I want to read these screen things outside, I like it.
Yeah,
right.
It's weird. It's like finding a Betamax tape in a Salvation Army or something and being like, oh yeah, that didn't happen.
Like an MP3 player before like there were iPods.
I was, this is a confession for you. I was like super into mini discs and I was proselytizing the shit out of those things. I thought they were the way everyone needed to try my mini disc player because it was way better than cassettes and way smaller than CDs and it was the way of the future. And I was wrong.
Yeah.
But you've got a bitchin' mini disc collection.
Yeah.
Probably, you know what? I'm probably doing it in a basement somewhere. I don't think I ever bought a single mini disc album, which is probably why they didn't succeed. All I did was copy things. But MP3s killed that in a hurry.
Do you guys remember when there was the Blu-ray versus HD DVD fight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For Christmas that year, I got my mom an HD DVD player. And then weeks later, they just discontinued all of it. And I was like, God, son of a bitch.
What was the difference? Like, what was the material benefit of one versus the other?
None. It was just like VHS.
Two proprietary things. Yeah.
Yeah. It was VHS versus Betamax. So I think Blu-ray is owned by what? Sony?
Yeah.
I think so.
And then HD DVD was Toshiba or some shit.
I think it was Philips.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe the same company. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you ever see those like high definition audio CDs? Like there was something like Best Buy, I feel like pretty often, where it was like the newest revolution in CD technology. It was like, this is like ultra. It's supposed to be like as crisp as like new vinyl is, but in CD form. And like this, they were like $60. I was like, no fucking way. Like, I'm not going to buy the White Album on high definition CD.
Yeah.
When I.
What they didn't tell you then was all those optical medias only last like 15 years. So,
yeah,
your DVDs from 2000 will stop working soon.
Is that true?
Yeah, they degrade.
Huh. Dave, were you ever on the e-reader wagon? Did you ever read books, or you're a paper man?
Paper man only. I've never tried an e-reader. I guess I just never really had interest. You know, I'm not necessarily like, oh, I need to be holding a physical copy of a book in my hands to enjoy it, but it's never something I want to do. Right. I don't really enjoy reading anything off my computer screen or my phone, so I can't imagine an e-reader being something that would appeal to me. That said, I mean, I wouldn't mind giving it a try. Like, I'll never know until I do it. So, but like, I'm not going to go out and buy it.
If you do it now, you're just an insufferable hipster nowadays. It's the same as walking around with a boombox.
If you use an e-reader, is that... That's like a hipster thing now?
I don't know, but I mean, there's no... Again, like, Kindles are still out there a little bit, but I can't remember the last time I saw anything not Kindle out in the wild.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Kindle in a long time.
They are great for library books, evidently, because Kathleen still does library books on her Kindle. And then just this week, she got our new book club book through the library on the Kindle, and it was expiring in a couple days. And you can still do that exploit where you just turn the Wi-Fi off, and you can keep the book on your Kindle until you turn the Wi-Fi back on.
Overdue.
I know a lot more people who listen to audiobooks than will read stuff on a screen.
Yeah,
so like
totally.
if there was any kind of war there between audiobooks and e-readers, it feels like audiobooks are the ones that are winning that.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think the reason they died, or at least they went on life support, is they didn't fulfill the promise of what they were supposed to do, which was make things more accessible to you and easier to read. And part of that was the time they came out. Like, they came out just ahead of like smartphones taking over the world. Like, they were kind of concurrent. I mean, when we were doing the website, we had a whole section for like e-reader apps because the iPhone was brand new.
Right.
And even back then, like, they were fussy, like you needed to figure out the right formats because there was like 6 different file formats and some work with some and some work with others and some work in different ways. And then you needed the right thing on your computer. Then you needed to load them up. And then you needed to figure out how to work the website for the library, which was probably not very high tech because librarians in 2009 weren't super up on Web 2.0 or whatever. Like, so they weren't easy to use, and they still probably aren't. Whereas that's why Kindle won, because it was, you just fucking click the thing and then the the books there, right? And that's why smartphones took over, right? Who needs another device when I just got my phone right here?
Yeah.
So the thing, what looked like their promise was like, you know, an infinite supply of books whenever you want it, easy to read, easy to access. It just didn't actually deliver. What it did deliver was a screen very specific to reading, just in a time when people were looking to not have that anymore and to have one thing do everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't. If they had come out in the mid-90s, they probably would have been huge for 10 years, and then it was just too late.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough sell. They were kind of... It reminds me kind of this. Have you guys seen the Facebook ads for the Remarkable tablet? I can't fucking go on Facebook or Instagram without getting constant ads for this thing. But it's like an e-paper or whatever tablet with a pen that's supposed to be like a notebook. It's really hard sell to me to have those one use devices when you can just get an iPad for $200 and it's gonna do everything, and it's probably gonna do each of those things better than the one use thing. It's definitely going to be a better notebook than like this e-paper thing that I think costs $400. And I think it kind of backfired on them. Like there was a lot about like, you know, you don't have the distractions, you don't have the internet right there, you don't have all the rest of it, but also you have to pay for and charge and, you know, keep another device just to do that one thing. Instead of just,
and they were expensive.
Doing it on your phone.
They weren't cheap.
Yeah, I mean the Kindle is still like $100 at least.
Yeah, I remember when they came out, there was one that was like $1,000.
Yeah, those are crazy.
Auto blow?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. It did not blow you.
I think there's also something to be said about like multitasking as a function too. I think that people increasingly want to read while they're listening to podcasts or music. Like they're reading on their phone and doing like three things at the same time.
Yeah.
So
half the reason I hate reading on my phone.
Totally. But I think that's what's driving a lot of the like consumption on the phone is like you can do 10 things at once. You can also be on Twitter and talking to your friends on Messenger and read and listen to podcasts or play a game or something like that. I feel like that's just dominated that like attention span.
And that's why audiobooks are so popular, I think, because you can
do all kinds of shit. You can be at the gym.
Yeah,
listeners, tell us about your e-reader experience. What are you reading e-wise or not e-wise? Are you a paper professional like our friend Dave here? Twitter at yakbabies and email us. I know, I felt the same way. At yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Patreon at yakbabies, patreon.com/yakbabies. For one solitary dollar, you get access to basically a whole separate podcast. Like there's new Patreon episodes every week, and they are real fun, they're real weird, they're real gross, and real great. So check them out there. Games, power hours, chats, little bits of stories.
Visitations from Johnny Tremaine.
You might see some beloved literary characters, beloved by certain podcasters on Patreon. And that's what
the MAGA gnome.
To me, and it should be to you.
The gnome's bard.
Wait, was the gnome MAGA? I forgot.
Yeah. Make America gnome again.
Oh boy. That's worth a dollar, everyone. Check that out. All right. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, and William Howard Taft.